Blog Talk Radio.
When you're the hottest thing in this entire industry, any time away is too much time away.
All right, everybody, check this out. This is Thursday night, and this is wrestling night right here on Open Talk Radio 313 The Flash. My name is Martez. Once again, I'm just thankful and blessed to be here tonight. Thank the Lord above for giving us another opportunity to talk about wrestling. I try not to take that for granted, but God didn't have to give us ability, so I want to thank him to start off. But we got a cool show today. We have the Southwest Texan, De La Cruz, will be one of the tonight. He just hosted Wrestle Talking to D. He did a fine job. I'm so happy that he's back with us today. Also, we have CJ. He's another producer. He's the host of the You Smell What CJ's Cooking. I hope I said that correctly. So we'll bring him on shortly, and I don't want to waste too much time, so I'll bring both guys on tonight. Hey, CJ, you on air now. How you doing, man?
Hey, my son. Good to be here.
Good. Thanks for joining. Before we get into the debate, can you tell us what's going on with you and your podcast?
Well, my podcast is called Can You Smell What CJ Is Cooking? I am relatively new. I haven't really made a bunch of episodes yet, but I'm starting off, and I feel I had a pretty strong start with all the viewers I got so far. And I just want to thank God for giving me the opportunity to, you know, allow me to have a podcast, and I'm just so grateful that people are listening. And I usually just do, you know, reviews on Raw and SmackDown because I'm mostly WWE, but every once in a while I talk about AEW. So yeah, that's my podcast.
Cool. Sounds good. I had a chance to listen to the first show. It was really, really good. I'm gonna bring on Southwest Texan.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? This is Southwest Texan, Dede Cruz. What's going on, everybody?
Are we good?
How you
we
feel?
Good. Good. We're ready to get into the debate tonight. Thank you for talking to D. You did a good job, man.
Oh, man, I appreciate it, man. I did my best, man. I did my best.
Absolutely. Now, it'll be you, CJ. We're supposed to be having Jordan Garber, the host of the Jordan Show. He's supposed to be joining the debate pretty shortly, but we gotta keep it moving. We don't have a lot of time, so we're going to get right into the topic, and we start off with you, Southwest, okay? We're going to start off with you, Southwest, and then, CJ, you can follow up, okay?
Awesome.
All right. You know, Randy Orton, in my opinion, Randy Orton is putting on a great performance right now as a heel, but Southwest, how do you assess that? How do you grade this current heel run for Randy Orton? And then, CJ, you can follow up.
I'm actually going to give it a solid A because Randy Orton is actually stepping back into his roots from when he was in 09, when he won the Royal Rumble, when he was going against the McMahons, when he was going against Triple H, when he went against Triple H at WrestleMania for the WWE title. He actually is going to, he's going to stepping back into that little, you know, when he started being the Viper. And that's what I like about it.
Right.
He's
Hey, I agree with you, sort of, but I wouldn't give his heel run, you know, plus just yet, since, you know, it just started off. But personally, I do feel like he's coming back to his roots, like you said, how he's coming back. And Randy Orton, in my opinion, he's one of my favorite heels in all-time history because of what he's been able to do with his career and how all the people he's been after and everybody that, you know, how they used to call him the Legend Killer because he ended the legend, and how he was a heel against, you know, Undertaker, the McMahon, Triple H. But, you know, I feel like he could do a lot better than what he's doing right now. Like, he's doing a great job. Don't get me wrong. He's doing a great job. But I definitely feel like he could be doing better. So I give him a solid, like, you know, a B plus. Solid.
Okay.
Hey, that's your opinion. And I know you're going with it. Do you want any final thoughts before we move on?
Well, I mean, if you look at it, I'm gonna finish this one off. Randy Orton, you could say it's a B plus, a solid B plus because he just started. But you got to look at it. He just started, and he took out two legends that innovated the TLC match of Matt Hardy and Edge, which Edge is a returning Edge. It's not Edge of old. And Randy Orton's actually going back to his roots, like I said. So imagine he's just starting. Imagine when he finishes it. Like a Viper would. He's slithering his way in, and people are into it because it's one of the most watched things in WWE right now. When he was going against Matt Hardy 2 weeks ago, and then he finished Matt Hardy off this week. They didn't even have his match.
Yeah. You bring up a good point with that for sure. let's move on to a question and topic number two. Like Naomi. Has been back since the Royal Rumble, okay, and it seemed like WWE is trying to push her into an event push, but I'm not really sure. It seems that way. So, CJ, do you think it's time for Naomi to get a Becky Lynch-like push?
To be honest, Marquez, I think Naomi's time, you know, has come and it's gone, you know? Naomi, she's an amazing athlete. I love Naomi since I first heard about her. And, you know, don't get me wrong. I love, you know, how she going on about her career, but I don't think it's time for her, you know. I think her time has already passed for her to get into the main event picture. I think it's time for, you know, more people to come rise up and do that, you know, get into the main event picture, maybe go after the title, Becky Lynch. WWE could bring up some people from NXT to go against Becky Lynch because there are a lot of deserving people out there who really should deserve to go after the title or SmackDown Women's Champion, the Raw Women's Champion. It doesn't matter. I just think that it's time for somebody else, you know, step up and take over, you know? That's my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely get that. Yeah, Naomi has been around for a while, but I still believe that she really haven't got a huge push yet. But I totally understand what you're saying. Like she really has got a full push. But how do you feel about it, South?
I believe that Naomi deserves that. If anything, that one last push, I believe she deserves it really hard because she is a great athlete. I understand what you're saying. She's been around for a while. She's been around since the Funkadactyls. But I believe that that wasn't really nothing. I believe that she really ended up getting her somewhat pushed when she won that SmackDown Women's Championship twice. Once that she gave it up for injury, and then when she won it back in her hometown of Florida. But I believe that she deserves that one-time push, and I believe that that's what WWE is going to push when it comes to WrestleMania when she goes against. I believe I'm calling her now. She's going to go against Bayley for that SmackDown Women's title because there's no one else. They already got Shayna Baszler from NXT going against Becky Lynch. They got Charlotte stepping back down, and it was not really stepping down because NXT is a third brand one more time. Charlotte's going against Rhea Ripley for that SmackDown Women's Championship. So that leaves the SmackDown Women's title with no contenders. So I believe that they're going to bring Naomi up and they're going to give her that one last push. And I believe it's going to be a somewhat 3 to 6 month push, but it's going to be one last push. And then they're going to push her to be either a person that's not a jobber, but somebody that's going to push the next talent up or be a trainer at the Performance Center.
Well, if I could say something, if that's okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, so I hear what you're saying about Naomi. There's not a lot of women on the SmackDown roster, and that they're going to give Naomi that push since, you know, Charlotte's going after the NXT Rhea Ripley champion, you know, and what's her name? Becky Lynch already has what's coming with her, but, you know, I feel like Naomi, she could be doing a little more. She could be building up a little more hype before she actually goes into the championship. And when you actually look at the SmackDown women's roster, I agree 100% with you saying that, you know, there's not a lot of women on the SmackDown roster. There's not a lot of women out there. But there's still people like Carmella, people like Dana Brooke, still people like Ember Moon if she ever returns. There's a lot of people on there who, or at least even Maddie Rose. Now, a bunch of people can step up to the plate and do what you think Naomi should do. I think they should give it to, you know, Nikki Cross, because I actually like Nikki Cross. They should either give it to Nikki Cross or Sasha Banks when she returns. But Naomi, I think, you know, her time is up, you know, for to get into the main event picture.
If you look at the same thing, what you just said is Sasha Banks. I understand Sasha Banks is kind of the hot, you know, thing right now when it comes to her return, but you got to look at Naomi's pop when she returned. They gave her a big pop when Naomi came back at the Royal Rumble. But, I mean, Sasha Banks' time is kind of almost up, too. I believe the Four Horsewomen has to – I believe they need to lose their championship respectfully, go into the Hall of Fame or do something, you know what I'm saying? Because Charlotte, she's 10-time champion. She's trying to catch up to her daddy. You got Sasha Banks when she was a heel facing Bayley back at NXT Brooklyn when it first started. You got Becky Lynch, which her run as a man is done, I believe. I like Becky Lynch, but, you know, I believe that she's going to lose that title to Shayna Baszler. So, I mean, you got to look at it that way, if anything, if you're going to say Naomi's time is up, because really it's kind of all their time to step down and send the next generation off with the torch.
I mean, you're right, but at the same time, it doesn't have to be people on the main roster right about now. Like, people like Bianca Belair could step up, you know? People like Candice LeRae, Dakota Kai, Tegan Knox, a bunch of these people could all come to the main roster. It's not for them to bring them up, you know?
That's exactly what I mean, that they all need to step down. They already had their time when the Women's Evolution started. All the way until this moment, they all had their championships. Like I said, Charlotte won it 10 times. Becky became Becky Two Belts. Sasha Banks and Bayley became the first supposedly the first women's tag team champions. You know, you got to think about all that stuff.
And you're right. I agree with you. We can agree on that. I got you.
All right. I like the way this is going so far. Move on to question number three. Val Venus recently came out and spoke against Nyla Rose winning the women's title for AEW. Do you guys agree with Val Venus, or do you disagree with Val Venus? And I'll let you start first.
I believe, you know, Val Venus has a valid point, you know what I'm saying? Because Nyla Rose is actually a man in a woman's body. He pulled a Bruce Jenner, cut off his testicles because he couldn't hack it at being a male wrestler. He knew he wasn't going to be a main eventer as a male wrestler. I'm sorry to say it like that, because there's a wrestler that I know in Horace Land that I know, if he's listening, he's going to get mad at it. Peter B. Beautiful. But the whole thing and the whole situation is, you know what I'm saying? He's a man in a women's division. He's a man in the women's division no matter what. It's always going to be that you cutting off your stuff is not gonna actually, you know, do you justice in being a women's champion. Val Venus has 100% my support. I mean, I'm not knocking the dude for doing what he do. I don't knock, you know what I'm saying, anybody that does it. You know what I'm saying? I just don't believe that a man belongs in a women's division. And like in Impact Wrestling, I don't believe a woman belongs as an Impact heavyweight champion.
I definitely
agree with the whole championship.
I definitely agree with that. But, you know, it's also like a sensitive topic. People out here, they think that there's a lot of people in the AEW world who think that Nyla Rose should be champion right now. But, like that being said, he thinks that people are only giving her the shot, you know, because they think it's going to be good for, like, social – they're going to get more followers in that community. I definitely agree with Almir's 100% on that one.
Right. I agree with that 100%. Like I said, I don't agree with, you know, people actually getting on making it a touchy subject, because I made two memes. I made one, which I said, Martez, it was Tessa Blanchard. It said Tessa Blanchard making history, being the world's champion, and it said Nyla Rose, Q, hold my beer, and it had him winning the women's championship. And then the other one was the same thing with Tessa on top, or no, it was Nyla Rose on top, actually, and then they had Harvey Whippleman, if you guys know who he is. He was a wrestler, he was a jobber back in the day, as the WWF women's champion. And it said that's cute, I'd done that 20 years ago. And you know, I got a lot of heat for that, because the simple fact is people are making it a touchy subject, which it shouldn't be, because, you know, they're like, oh, Tessa Blanchard's making history. You know, they don't see nothing wrong with her gender winning a men's championship. But as soon as people are attacking Nyla Rose, they're like, oh, you guys are wrong, and you guys are sexist, or you guys are against the you know, homophobic thing. You know what I'm saying? I'm not against none of that, but I don't believe that a man, like I said, I don't believe a man winning a women's championship is justice.
100% agree. 100%.
All right. Any more thoughts on that, or are you ready to move on to the next topic?
We can move on on that.
We can move on. Okay. I'm going to just cut it real simple like this. Undertaker versus AJ Styles. Do you want to see that, or don't you want to see that? Wait, do you want to see that or not? I'm sorry. CJ, start this off.
All right, let's see. Undertaker, one of my all-time favorite wrestlers of all time. Undertaker, I love the Undertaker. Styles, he's a great performer as well. But I don't think AJ Styles is up there, you know, with Undertaker level yet. I don't think that AJ Styles is up to that same, like, I don't think you can compare the two. And even though I'm pretty sure the match would be good between those two, I would have to say, I don't think AJ Styles should go up against The Undertaker just yet. Because, like, you know, right now, AJ Styles, he's doing his own thing with the OC. And Undertaker, I want his return to be, like, and have amazing hype around it. So, in order for that to have amazing hype, I think that The Undertaker should go up against somebody that already has all that hype. You know, like somebody like The Fiend, or even Goldberg, or they could bring back John Cena, so they could have round two of WrestleMania. Because John Cena didn't like the way he lost in the first WrestleMania. Or you could have either Undertaker versus Sting in Sting's comeback match. Or you could have Undertaker versus somebody like The Rock, who already has a bunch of hype around them, you know? Somebody who can, The Undertaker can feed off their energy. And the crowd's going to love the promos between the two. That's what I think about it. AJ Styles versus Undertaker is a no-go for me.
Okay. Southwest, what do you got to say?
I agree with him. Undertaker versus AJ Styles shouldn't happen. Not saying that AJ Styles, because AJ Styles wouldn't be able to, like I was bringing up Goldberg a few weeks ago, AJ Styles wouldn't be able to carry the Undertaker. Undertaker is way past his prime. I believe that he should have left it alone when he lost to Roman Reigns and left it at that. He shouldn't even come back, I believe, because he should be an ambassador for WWE. And he should just stay at home and leave his boots hanging. And if they are going to do it, AJ Styles versus The Undertaker, they did a poor job in the hype about it. And because there's not really much left to WrestleMania. There's not that long. And it's just a poor thing to see. I believe he would be better off, like I said. He said some different people, but I believe he should be able to go against a new demon, Finn Balor, the actual Finn Balor that's in NXT right now. Because if you put that demon against Undertaker, I believe that would be a better match. But I don't think that Undertaker should stay at home, because he can't even do it no more. I'm sorry.
Even though even though I do believe that the Undertaker should, you know, hang up the boots or whatever, I think, like, this is my personal opinion. Imagine if the Undertaker went up against Brock Lesnar in his very, very final match just so he could even the odds. Brock Lesnar broke his record at WrestleMania. I think the Undertaker should come back. I'm not saying I'm against the Undertaker coming back because, you know, whenever the Undertaker comes back, he still has that huge, amazing pop that the crowd gives him. Everybody loves the Undertaker, and everybody would love to see more of the Undertaker. But I don't disagree with what you said about him, you know, hanging up the boots and becoming the ambassador for WWE. I think that would be a great career move for him. That would be great for him. But if I had to see the Undertaker come one last time, I don't think I would want to see him come back against AJ Styles. Somebody more like Brock Lesnar, who he can redeem himself after the loss at WrestleMania, or somebody like Roman Reigns, one of those two. But AJ Styles, nah.
No, I believe that it's too late for him to redeem himself against Brock Lesnar or Roman Reigns. If he was going to redeem himself against either one of them, it should have been at the year after that he lost. Like, if he would have wanted to prove himself against Brock Lesnar, he should have did that at WrestleMania 31 and won. But we all know if he comes back and goes against a Brock Lesnar, he's going to lose again. So I believe him going against Brock Lesnar or Roman Reigns wouldn't be a good move because both of them are – Roman Reigns is a big dog right now. Brock Lesnar is a beast incarnate. You can't put him against him right now. Not at all.
But in all fairness, I do see how you see how on Raw right now or SmackDown, The Fiend is going after all the people who are beating them years prior to when he's attacking them now, like Daniel Bryan when Daniel Bryan was a part of the Wyatt family and Kane and all the people like that. You see how he's going after all the people who've beaten him or embarrassed him in the years prior. Maybe that's what they're trying to do for WWE right now. They could be able to bring back Brock Lesnar or Roman Reigns one last time, you know, because Undertaker didn't like how he lost against him years ago. One of those I never forgot things. That would be pretty cool in my opinion.
I believe that would be a good one, but we all know that The Fiend is going to go against Roman Reigns this year. But if they let Goldberg actually win the Universal title at the Super Showdown, then that's a possibility. That's actually a possibility if they let Goldberg win, but I don't think that actually would be a good idea on WWE's part because Goldberg, like I said a few weeks ago, he needs to hang it up, do his 401k, go in the minivan, and go with his family because he had a terrible match against The Undertaker. Dolph Ziggler tried to carry him and couldn't do it, but, I mean, it is what it is.
Oh, man.
You say the 401k. Hey, he said the 401k plan.
401k. He said 401k.
He got to do it. It's time for him to hang it up.
Wow.
I got you. I hear what you're saying on that one. I can't disagree.
So let me keep going, though.
All right.
I would love to.
All right, let's
go. Go ahead.
Oh, no. Go. You good. Good. Go ahead.
I was going to say, that would be an awesome way to go about WrestleMania, Undertaker versus The Fiend, but it ain't going to happen.
You never know.
Yeah,
you never know. WWE put the price before.
In Southwest, you know, I feel like they should make that happen. That'd be a way of them passing a torch. But you're right. I don't know if that's going to happen. But, yeah, that'd be a great way to pass the torch to Bray Wyatt. All right, the third debater, we're going to bring him on the air right now. It's going to be kind of like a triple threat thing going on right now, if that's okay.
That's awesome.
Hey, Jordan, are you there?
I certainly am. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yes, sir.
Excellent. Right. Well, hey, this is my first podcast appearance. This is the first time I've done a podcast, first time I'm in Civilization for 2 weeks, so I'm just happy that I'm back in the podcast game. I'm back, baby. I like it.
Good.
Welcome back.
Welcome. We definitely happy to be back on this platform. I know you came on a few months ago. We definitely happy to have you on. We went through 5 questions so far, so I'm going to the next question, okay? And that's, did you guys happen to see NXT TakeOver Portland? And if you did, what did you think about it?
I thought it was a great card. I thought it was great. All the matches were great. The Finn Balor versus Johnny Gargano, I think, kind of stole the show. Main event was great. They did a great build up to Johnny Gargano versus Tommaso Ciampa that's gonna happen, and then they're gonna have I believe Adam Cole versus Finn Balor for the NXT heavyweight title, and then you had the Rhea Ripley versus the Bianca Belair. That was a great match. That was a great build up to the Charlotte versus Rhea Ripley. You had the tag titles actually won by the Broserweights, which was I believe the best thing that happened. I mean, NXT Undisputed Era needs to kind of step down a little bit and let somebody else hold the gold.
Yeah, right. Jordan, did you get a chance to see the NXT TakeOver, and what did you think about it?
Yeah, I was able to skim through it. I wasn't able to watch the entire product, but I was able to skim through it. And based on the matches that I saw and the reception and the reaction from the crowd, which is another big thing I learned on tour, is that crowd work is so important. The crowd was engaged. The matches were very good, and things were planned at the right time. If I was to give it a rating out of 10, I'd probably give it about a 9 out of 10, and I thought the event was really great. You know what? It was something that was very good to see, and I'm glad I was able to watch it.
Awesome. CJ, how did you feel about it, sir?
I loved it. NXT Portland, the TakeOver, I have to give it about a good 9 out of 10. I loved the match card. Everything about it was good. Only thing that I have to disagree on is the Finn Balor versus Johnny Gargano match. It was a little boring to me. But the Tegan Knox match versus Dakota Kai, the Broserweights winning the championship, that was one of my favorite parts of the night. And Rhea Ripley versus Bianca Belair, that was an amazing match. I liked that match. That was a real good one. But the Adam Cole versus Tommaso Ciampa match, I don't think that one could be compared to any other one, the way how good that match was, how technical how technical Adam Cole and Tommaso Ciampa were getting. I just loved that match. But the Finn Balor versus Johnny Gargano, I feel like it could have been a lot better than the way it was. But the whole thing, I would have to still give it a 9 out of 10. It was a great pay-per-view, great build-up. Everything about it was just great.
Awesome. Any final thoughts before we move on to the next question?
Go.
All right, now I'm going to start this off with you, Jordan, and then we can just pass it on to CJ and then Southwest. But is there anything in the wrestling industry that you would take away? Is there anything in today's wrestling product that you would take away? And I'll start with you.
If there's one thing that I'd take away in wrestling, it would be drama and bullshit. Because when you're in wrestling, you work as a team. And when you work as a team and you succeed, it's such a great feeling. And bullshit and drama always get involved in quality of the product.
We just got to watch the language. I understand you're passionate. But go ahead, Jordan.
Can you guys still hear me okay? Or
Yeah. It's just we gotta watch the language.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you said I had some language, and I was like, shit. But no, basically, I would eliminate all that crap, you know, politics and all that bullshit. But
God!
I know I make everyone laugh. I make everyone laugh. It's what I love to do. But you know what I learned on tour too. You know I'm younger. I'm older. I'm 24 years old, and I can't go through the basic necessities. Like I had to relearn how to get craft dinner made. So there's like two wrestlers teaching me how to drain freaking macaroni, which is like common sense. It's just like it's fun ribbing them once in a while. It's crazy.
Southwest, is there anything you would take away from the current wrestling product?
Like I said earlier in the Russell talk with the scripted promos, which WWE is trying to get, you know, rid of. Because if you know what I'm saying, it's like I say, it's cheesy. You know what they're going to do. You know what they're going to say. They're trying to stay hip with the young folks. But, I mean, the scripted promos for me, and they – you know what I'm saying? Take away the PG era stuff. You know what I'm saying? Bring back PG-14. Bring back the hardcore matches. You know, stuff like that.
I totally understand that. What about you, CJ?
If I had to choose some things to take out of current wrestling, I would say take out the scripts, you know? Just let the wrestlers just talk freely. I would take out the PG era and bring back the Attitude era when people like Stone Cold were at the top of the list. Bring back the Ruthless Aggression era where wrestlers were allowed to say anything without getting, you know, backlash from creative. I would take away the scripts because that also decreases the chance of wrestlers leaking the match card in the script, because that's happened a few times now with Liv Morgan and a bunch of people posting the script on Instagram, and now we know what's happening. I would say take out the scripts and take out the PG era so we'll be able to, like, actually hear and actually be able to, you know, find some good hardcore matches out of the night. We bring back the Attitude era when people were allowed to say anything, like I said before. Like, this recent Monday, Shayna Baszler, in one of her promos, she dropped the S-bomb, and I didn't even expect that, but that got the whole crowd hyped. That type of stuff. I think they should get rid of the PG era and bring back the Attitude era. Get rid of scripts and all that. That's what I think.
Hey,
yeah.
I totally get it. I'm feeling like my platform needs to be a little more edgier. with all the cursing going on. All right, let's move along to the next question. We'll start with you, CJ. I was wondering if John Cena remained the Doctor of Thugonomics, do you think he would have still remained the face of WWE if he would have stayed as the Doctor of Thugonomics?
Not a chance. I'm not gonna say that the Doctor of Thugonomics isn't a good gimmick. I love the gimmick. It's funny. It's a gimmick. But that's the thing right there. It's too funny. I think they should bring back. I think if they would have kept John Cena as the Doctor of Thugonomics, WWE would not have allowed him to be the face of the company. Because then a lot of people went ahead have really been as invested as they were when he first came around the Doctor of Thugonomics. If he would have stayed the Doctor of Thugonomics, I would definitely would not have been a big John Cena fan. But I like how he is now. You know, he salutes when he comes into the ring wearing camouflage shorts. He respectful. He's making he's doing everything he's doing. He has awesome promos. But you know, my father, he called John Cena the Doctor of Thugonomics once. He called him a white 50 Cent one time. He called him a white 50 Cent. And that was, to me, that was hilarious. That was hilarious. But I would have to say, if he remained the Doctor of Thugonomics, a lot of people wouldn't have really been invested in John Cena as they are now. So, yeah, that's my take on that.
Yeah, I'm going to let Jordan step in, but I think people would have personally loved him more if he stayed the Doctor of Thugonomics, because I always wanted him to go back to that gimmick. That's just me.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
Go ahead,
Jordan. 110%. Yeah, totally. I agree with the Doctor of Thugonomics because, like, he just naturally was a good heel. It came to him naturally, and the crowd hated him. And you know what? When he came back, it wouldn't be more like that. But the gimmick is kind of legendary, and he did it very well. He perfected it very well.
Yeah. Go ahead, Southwest. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I watched the ruthless aggression thing on the network the other day on John Cena, and he actually was supposed to be the biggest thing when he came out and fought Kurt Angle and all the other stuff, but he actually failed at that, and that's why he became the Doctor of Thugonomics, because he actually heard some of the stars doing a rap battle in the back of the bus, and then he started doing it, and then they said they pitched that to him that he should do it. And when he actually did it, look at what happened. He won the United States title of WrestleMania 20. He won the WWE Championship at WrestleMania 21. And he actually started transitioning to the John Cena we know now after WrestleMania 20, I want to say 22, 23, even though they changed the song. But he actually stopped doing all the rap battle stuff after one of those WrestleManias. I believe that he should come back and actually do it. Well, kind of not now, because that's like, that would be like Hulk Hogan turning into Hollywood Hulk Hogan, you know what I'm saying? Actually in his 40s and 50s, which would kind of tarnish him, but you know what I'm saying? back then, if he would have came back with that gimmick in 2014, maybe 2013, that would have been gold, because that would have been the hype of his career, because he got the experience and he got the title reigns and everything to go with it. And I believe that he would have flourished and became more than a 16-time world champion.
And I think they had a perfect opportunity to use him when he had that program with The Rock for those years. That was the perfect time to insert him back as the Doctor of Thugonomics. And I think they missed the mark. I guess they felt like people or kids would stop liking John Cena if they went back to that. But I think they missed the mark on that, to be honest with you.
Right. Well, 2013, 2014. Yeah, you're right.
I'm sorry, I just got to say one thing. If John Cena remained the Doctor of Thugonomics, don't you think that WWE would have ran out of ideas, you know, or gimmicks to give him? They would have run out of ideas because he's the same gimmick of, like, I don't know if they would have ran out of ideas, but I know that their ideas wouldn't have been as good if he remained the Doctor of Thugonomics for all the years that he's been there. I don't think that would have been good, because WWE would have ran out of ideas for him and other title matches to give him. And you know how comes out nowadays to talk, everybody's just like, you know, why are you here? That's what happened with John Cena.
But that's why they switched him to what he did. That's why they switched John Cena to what he was today. That's why I said, and what Martez said, if they would have used it in 2013, 2014, when he fought The Rock, that would have been a perfect time, and then he could have ended his career like that. You know what I'm saying? It came back as the face John Cena and did it like that.
It's like John Cena, he got stale with this gimmick he has now. It was a period of time where he got super stale.
And that's why he was not panic. John Cena sucked. That's why you had it like that.
And Jordan, you got any more thoughts on this before we move on?
No further thoughts so far, but like I said, Dr. Thugonomics is one of the greatest gimmicks of all time.
All day.
That's debatable. Very debatable.
Okay. Out of the 2000s.
Why do you say that's very debatable, CJ?
To call the Doctor of Thugonomics one of the greatest of all time, one of the greatest gimmicks of all time, I wouldn't even put him in the top 10 greatest gimmicks of all time. There have been so many more gimmicks that have come out
that are
way better than the Doctor of Thugonomics.
Many
more gimmicks are coming out. JBL?
No, that's what I'm saying. You're saying there's more, but I'm saying, like, you're saying, like, that wasn't the greatest gimmick in the Ruthless Aggression era. You got to think about that, because, like I said in the beginning, when he came out, I was just talking about the era.
So, yeah, I'm just eating it at the same time.
Well, what he said was he's one of the greatest of all time, one of the greatest gimmicks of all time. So that takes it outside the Ruthless Aggression era, and outside all of the eras, it's just every era put together, you have to think of all the gimmicks when you say greatest of all time. That's why I said that's debatable, because when you come to, like, every era and every time and every gimmick out there, I would give a lot more people credit than the Doctor of Thugonomics, because there have been a lot more people to have better gimmick changes or heel turns than John Cena ever has. That's why I think it's debatable.
But and I'm gonna let Southwest jump back in. But CJ, like, the Doctor of Thugonomics character, it was super fresh. It was almost Attitude-esque. You know, that's what I loved about John Cena when he was the Doctor of Thugonomics. He had attitude. And number one, like, nobody else has done this before. Nobody did it before him, and nobody did it after him. That was like he was a white guy. I'm gonna just say that he was a white guy rapping. So that made it cool. You know, and on top of that, he was destroying folks with his bars. You know, he was ripping folks up with the freestyles, you know.
Exactly.
Especially in today and age, people love rap. I think his gimmick will resonate well with kids of today and even older folk.
I guess you're not
productive
wrong.
Productive argument.
I guess you're not wrong, but I wouldn't say. I honestly haven't always liked the Doctor of Thugonomics. I thought it was stupid, to be honest. I always thought the Doctor of Thugonomics, it was funny. It was definitely funny, don't get me wrong. But it was stupid. Like, there was this one promo where John Cena, he had a rap battle right before, I think, a big pay-per-view. And it was with a fan outside. And John Cena definitely destroyed him. But, you know, I didn't like it at all. It was weird to me. Like, why is he talking more than he's wrestling? That was my perspective on the Dr. Thugonomics. Like, dude, just shut up and fight.
Right. Well, I mean, think about this show. We can agree. We can disagree. We have our own opinions. That's the cool thing about this debate on wrestling. But let's move on. We only have 18 minutes to go. And I'm going to start this question off with you, Jordan. John Moxley versus Chris Jericho for the world title at the AEW Revolution pay-per-view. So my question is this to all of you all. Who needs this victory more, John Moxley or Chris Jericho?
John Moxley.
I'm going to say John Moxley right away on that one. That's what John Moxley needs right now in his career. Right now he's still considered in his prime, and he already done everything he needs to do. But this is a good way to create a great legacy for Moxley to go to Japan continuously and become the top dog in AEW, which is the top competition, which was performing better than WCW compared to 99 or 98. So when it comes to John Moxley versus Chris Jericho has done everything, and he's done it all, and he's good at putting people over, and he's going to do the same to John Moxley. And John Moxley is going to be a big star, even bigger than we've seen before. It's going to be great.
And I 100% agree with that. John Moxley, he definitely needs to go down his resume a bit of things that are outside the WWE. Like, didn't he just lose one of the titles in New Japan? Didn't he just do that?
No, he
had a title in New Japan.
No, he's still United States champion.
In New Japan, right?
Yep. He's
now,
still there.
Imagine being the first U.S. champion in New Japan and the first AEW world champion. Wouldn't that be an amazing thing? So, you know, for future generations, you would have an amazing legacy and amazing big shoes to fill. If you had two titles in two different companies, two different brands, John Moxley needs this win, I would say, because he's already done everything he could in WWE. But now it's time for him to expand his horizons and time to win something else in a different brand. Yeah, a different brand. It's time for him to expand his horizons.
Well, I mean, my thing is, I agree with you. I agree with both of you guys on this. Chris Jericho is one of the great, well, if not the greatest of all time. He's held championships everywhere. He's held them WCW, WWF, ECW. He's held, not the heavyweight championship in ECW, but the television championship. You know, he's won. He's the greatest of all time, European champion everywhere. You know, he's been champion everywhere. He's the first ever AEW champion. John Moxley, he deserves this win. He needs this win. He's going to be the first ever United States champion, the second ever AEW champion. He's not actually going into another realm because he's been in this realm before. He's a different breed of wrestling. You know what I'm saying? He's an actual deathmatch wrestler, stepped into the pro wrestlers, you know, realm and actually crushed it. He crushed it when he went into WWE. He got watered down. He got tired of WWE. He left WWE to go to AEW. He didn't care about the money. Right now, WWE is trying to get him to opt out his contract. An AEW, but he's not going to do it because he don't care about the money. I was about to drop the F-bomb, but he don't give a crap about the money. He just wants to wrestle, and he's gonna be the first dude in history, like you said earlier, to hold the AEW and New Japan Wrestling, the United States Championship, and that's big. And that, you know,
exactly.
John Moxley is going to bring eyes all around AEW for being who he is, and that's John Moxley and not Dean Ambrose.
Exactly. And mark my words,
I agree.
If John Moxley comes out with that eye patch, I guarantee you he's going to lose. He comes out with that eye patch.
No. He's not going to lose. If he comes out with that eye patch, he's going to win because he's gonna fake everybody out. They're going to try to use it. He's going to fake them out, and that's how he's going to win.
Or Chris Jericho is going to use that to his advantage and probably poke his other eye out and have a bunch of people just come out of nowhere and just jump him like they tried to every other week. And then when the referee isn't looking, Chris Jericho sneaks up and takes the win.
No, they're going to let Chris Jericho's reign come to an end, and they're going to give him a little break because Chris Jericho's been working his ass off since he's been to New Japan in 2018. When he went to New Japan, faced off against Kenny Omega, He's been run ragged. He's going to lose the title. He's going to take a break. He's going to come back for a rematch. He's going to lose the rematch. He's going to eventually get the title back. You know, he's going to have at least 2-3 runs with the AEW championship, and then he's going to set off, and he's going to become the greatest of all time, and he's going to focus on Fozzy after he's done with wrestling.
His band, right?
Yep.
If that happens, I definitely think it's time for Chris Jericho to retire. He's been doing this way too long. He has done everything anybody could ever do in their entire career. He's had an amazing career, but it's time for him to do something else. So I hope he loses the title.
I'm gonna stop you right there, because you got to look at Ricky Morton. I'm not going off subject, but we're gonna talk wrestling. Ricky Morton, 67 years old almost, still going at it. He just won the NWA and lost the NWA World Tag Team Championship. I believe Chris Jericho, like I said, he's going to have 2 or 3 more runs in him with the AEW title or even the tag team title run, because he's got a couple years to go in AEW, and then he's going to try to go back to WWE, finish off his WWE career, and go into the WWE Hall of Fame and eventually in the AEW Hall of Fame, because he's the first ever AEW champion.
Good observation.
Oh, man. That's a good activation for real, but still, even the person you said, 67 years old, still wrestling, it's time for him to retire too. There's a lot of people in this industry who would like to continue to fight. Nobody.
No, because Ricky Morton, I'm gonna tell you something. I'm gonna tell you guys something. We're talking about. I'm not gonna be a hypocrite because I said Goldberg and Undertaker need to retire. But you got to look at Ricky Morton. If you look at Ricky Morton's matches now versus an Undertaker match versus Goldberg match, you know Ricky Morton could go way more fucking harder. Or my bad, I dropped that by. My bad. Ricky Morton goes way harder in the ring. And he could wrestle way better in that ring than either one of them put together.
I mean, when you look at people like him, and you look at people like Dustin Rhodes is, not to get off topic, but he's wrestling the best he's ever wrestled in his entire career. But people like them, the longer they stay in the company at their age, the easier it gets to diminish or tarnish their legacy. And that's what I don't like, because as soon as something happens, they diminish and tarnish their legacy, and then people start to like them, and people knock the accolades that they have, and that's what happens when you stay too long.
Yeah, but you got they're helping. You got to look at it also. It's a great thing that they are kind of doing that. It's not to tarnish their legacy, but it's to help the younger talent learn their craft, their art. You know what I mean? That's all a part of the game. You know what I'm saying? If you love the game that much and you have a passion for the game that much, you're gonna go to when you can't do it no more.
You're right. But still, I think this should be like a little conversation they have with this. I'll be like, okay, I've had enough. My body can't take this no more. I mentally can't take the roads no more.
My point. That's my point. But you got to look at it. Ricky Morton's not. If you look at some of Ricky Morton's interviews and some of his matches, he says he can still go. As old as he is, he's almost 70 years old, and he still can go. As if he was back in the 80s and the 70s winning them tag team titles in NWA, Rock and Roll Express in the World Wrestling Federation, Rock and Roll Express in the WWE, Rock and Roll Express everywhere and anywhere, and they're still living to this day. I met Ricky Morton in 2018, one of the best moments in my life. I actually got to shoot the craps with Ricky Morton. And I actually, you know what I'm saying? I shot the craps with him. I got him something to drink, and I actually got to take a picture with him and hold his Hall of Fame ring. And it's actually one of my cover photos on my Facebook. Ricky Morton, man, that's
right
a great
on,
dude.
Brother.
Hey, don't knock the accolades. I get it. But this has to be a cap. That's my opinion. This just needs to be a cap where you realize you got to stop.
Well,
hey. Everybody has an opinion. That's why it's called the debate show, you know?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Well, Jordan, do you have anything to say before we close this out? Because this is definitely a hot debate. You know, you got anything to say about this?
Well, besides me enjoying my Lucky Charms granola bars, I want to say that
oh my God.
They're delicious. I had 4. I bought a box of 5, and I have 4 already. So I guess there's no more for later. I was thinking of just putting dipping one in a glass of milk and then drinking it, then eating it, just to,
oh my God,
you know, finish it off. But anyway, what's going on here? AEW's Chris Jericho, the man is a legend. He actually started out with what I finished doing, and that's the Northern Death Tour. And then he went on to Japan and Mexico, and then he got a shot in the WWF. And ever since, he's never looked back. He was one of the best wrestlers in the locker room, technically and physically. And this, I definitely see him wrestling for at least 7 more years.
Awesome.
That's a lot.
Hey, I say 7 for sure, and then he's done. And then he just announces or something.
Look at Ricky Morton. Like Southwest said, look at Ricky Morton wrestling at 67.
Oh, my goodness.
But Jericho's also a musician, and you might want to focus on that, too. So that's why I kind of said 7.
Yeah. All right, well, we got about 4 minutes to go. One more question. We didn't get a chance to get to all the questions, but that happens when you're engaged in conversation. And I'm going to start with Southwest on this one. Who do you guys think cuts the best promos today? What professional wrestler does the best promos today?
That's a hard one. You gotta everywhere, you know. Man.
We can come back to you.
I'm gonna say right now, The Miz.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think The Miz does a great job so far in his promos.
MJF is one of the best heels in the business. I mean, I can't.
MJF,
absolutely. MJF is great. MJF is great. You know, you got MJF. You can't really say nothing about WWE. Like I said, they're scripted right now. Seth Rollins trying to break the barrier on the non-scripted promos on Monday. So, I mean, you got to think about that. You know, I hope that WWE breaks the barrier on that and lets people be them, but Seth Rollins, he could be one.
Yeah. What about you, CJ?
Oh, man. That's a hard question, to be honest. Because there are a lot of good people out there who are cutting good promos right now. Like, what's his name? The Miz? He's cutting really good promos right now. Paul Heyman, he's so annoying, but you can't knock his promos, man. That's one person you can't knock. But if I had to say who's cutting the best promos right now, I would have to say either Drew McIntyre and MVP. Those two, man. Their promos are amazing.
What about R-Truth? He's comedic.
R-Truth, oh, man, yeah. You can't knock R-Truth. But when it comes to, like, build-ups on titles or matches, you can't knock Drew McIntyre or MVP.
What about Bianca Belair?
Bianca Belair can't match up to Drew McIntyre or MVP. But don't get me wrong, she's good on the mic. Her, Bayley, Lacey Evans, Drew McIntyre, MVP, Paul Heyman, R-Truth, they all cut really good promos. Even when you go to AEW, MJF, Cody Rhodes, Chris Jericho, Jon Moxley, they have some good promos too.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do. Like Randy Orton's promo last week or the week before, he did good on that one.
His promo? I thought, didn't he barely speak?
Yeah, exactly. That's the whole thing. That's the whole thing.
Oh,
you know,
my gosh.
When you can have, no, he could cut great promos, but when you can sit there, listen, when you can sit there and say nothing and barely say anything and have the crowd boo you, you got him in the palm of your hand.
You're right.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong. But when you can actually say something to piss the people off, when you piss somebody off, that's the greatest feeling. When you get the reaction that you really want to get, you can't knock that. When you get the reaction that you were intended to receive, like when John Cena gives motivational promos, Edge gives motivational promos, Randy Orton, he's giving promos that get him the people that hate them. You know, when you get the reaction that you actually want, that's how you know you put a good promo. Unless people are booing you because your promo sucks. Like, if you're giving, like, one of the best inspirational promos ever and you're a face, but you get booed, that's how you know that your promo just, you know, sucks. But if you can give a promo and get the reaction that you intentionally want, then that's how you know you cut a good promo. And that's people like Drew McIntyre. That's people like
Paul
Heyman. People like cutting your promo.
Drew McIntyre. I mean, you got to think about Drew McIntyre. His promos ain't really that great either. They're not really that great, man.
All right.
Yeah, he definitely gets the reaction out of me.
Hopefully, Southwest.
Go ahead. Go ahead. I just don't agree on the Drew McIntyre part.
I feel you, Drew McIntyre. I mean, only reason I stopped because we sure. I'm afraid they're gonna make Drew McIntyre stale. He doesn't need to really talk.
Hope not.
He's not looking good.
You know, when you open a bag of chips, a bag of Lay's chips, and you want them to be fresh, that's what you need with Drew McIntyre to push him here. We don't want them to become stale and wait on the counter for 10 weeks. We gotta make sure that it's like nice.
When Drew McIntyre wins that title, they're gonna give him a little run with it. And then another flavor of the next WrestleMania is going to be there. And they're going to be like, oh, Drew McIntyre is stale. Take the belt off of him.
Yep.
I mean, Drew McIntyre right now, he's definitely, I don't know if I can say the prime, but speaking right now, he's definitely in the peak of his career. He's definitely what
Drew McIntyre
right
is great
now.
Talent. Drew
amazing
McIntyre
talent
is great talent. Don't get me wrong. Because when he left WWE as a member of the damn three-man band, that was god dang terrible. He actually went out. When he got fired, he went out, explored the indies, went to Impact, made a big name for himself. That's what made WWE want him back. They made him Evolve Champion, which is WWE's developmental, and they brought him back because they knew that's what they wanted. But WWE's going to push him so far, and they're going to shove him down people's throats where they're going to be like, oh, take the title off of him. He's being pushed too hard. It's going to be another Roman Reigns.
Roman Reigns.
Yeah, we don't want that.
As well.
All right, gentlemen, we're going to have to leave it at there. Hopefully, if you guys are not busy, you can come on next week and continue this debate. But special thanks goes out to us.
I would
Southwest
love
too.
To be on next week.
I would love to.
Okay, let's book it then. Same three contenders next week right here on the Wrestling Debate Show. We want to thank Southwest Texan. We also want to thank Jordan Garber and CJ Gilliard for coming on the show tonight. The Gorilla Position is next with the Macho Ghost and Steve Aaron. And we'll talk to you later.
Later, man.
Have a good night, guys.
Bless you guys.
God bless.